Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Welcome to the Psychic Funhouse, a special place of exploration, love, and healing. Stay inside your ride, but prepare to expand your consciousness. Your psychic pitchmen, Michael Espinoza and Lawrence Birch, are your guides as we embark together on a magical journey. Here's the entrance, and right there is your seat. So, let's start the show.
Ding, ding. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello.
Welcome to the Psychic Funhouse. This is Michael Espinoza, and I'm here with my lovely co-host,
Lawrence Birch, ready for another fun-filled adventure at the Psychic Funhouse. Woohoo!
Fun, fun, fun.
Always. Always a fun day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hi, Lawrence.
Well, how are you, Mr. Espinoza?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Trying to dry off after a rainstorm came through this last night, drenching everything. So.
Oh, that's nice. We got rain, I think it was earlier in the week, which was nice. We haven't had rain in a while, so yeah, I'm happy. And it was a pretty significant amount of rain, too. So, very pleased with that. Thank you, Mother Nature.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that'll help put out and keep out any fires.
Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, today, we're going to be talking about blessing your home.
Blessings.
Blessings to you too, sir. Last week we talked about cleansing the home, and I thought that was really important. It was such a great topic, especially with what we're all experiencing right now. The collective consciousness out there, if you will, that I think is affecting all of us. And also to, you know, due to the elections and the pandemic, and I think, so we all need to remember to cleanse our homes. The other thing is, I think that goes along with cleansing your home, and what's important is blessing your home after. I think cleansing is important, but I also think to invite spirit into the home, some angels, whatever, to bless your home is equally as important. So we're going to be discussing that a little bit today.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Mr. Lewons?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. So,
so do you have a preferred process?
I do several things when I bless a home.
How do you know, in the beginning, like, how do you know there's a need to bless the home, or is it just something you almost always do anyway? By default?
I always do it. I always do it. I mean, why not? It's like the icing on a cake, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
We can all use a blessing, I feel. And so I always think, why not? Let's just bless the home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
okay.
What do you do when you bless a home? or do you? Or what are your thoughts on it?
I probably don't do as many blessings as you do, and I probably don't necessarily categorize them as blessings. When I'm in, you know, when I do, well, it's been a while now because of COVID, but when I do, when I've done house calls in the past for people who are wanting some shamanic work, whatever that might be, mm-hmm. from soul retrievals to extraction work to deeper stuff, you know, I'm always acutely aware of just the energy in somebody's dwelling space. And it's pretty rare to go to somebody's living space and feel like things are just totally copacetic the minute you get there, right? Even if they're not doing something that maybe they shouldn't, or there's, you know, not something specific encumbering the place, like an entity or just bad energy or whatever, you know, body buried under the floorboards. It's just, you know, it's a good idea to just cleanse and clear the space anyway. Right. So, you know, and whenever I do shamanic work, of course, you know, we've talked about this a lot. So I always start with intention. You know, why am I there in the first place? And then kind of go from there. But I'm clearing the area, like kind of what we talked about last week, and cleansing the area. And then I'm also just making sure that the environment is ready for me to do spiritual work, and it's going to be safe for whoever's involved, and you know, there's harmony. There's a few times, you know, when maybe we talked about this before the show, we were planning it, medicine bundles. I've made medicine bundles, and the idea behind those, it's kind of like a blessing, but it's to just keep out any negative energy, bad spirits, you know, people with malicious intent, anything that's going to create a disturbance or you know, affect the harmony of somebody's environment. I often do that, like when people are first moving in, you know. So I'll gather some herbs with them, and then together we'll make a sacred bundle limb, and then tuck them away somewhere hidden that nobody but they know about. So it's in a secret area. And there's different herbs I've used for that. There's sweet nightshades one. There's a lot of, you know, protective herbs that are really good for that sort of thing in particular, that have an affinity for dwelling spaces and the people that live in them. Keep them safe and protected. So those are some of the things that I do.
You don't. So kind of to get clarification on the medicine bundles, you don't burn them. So it's not like you don't smudge with them. You keep
Correct.
Them dry
yeah.
and place. Okay.
Yep. Yeah. This is an object that contains a power and an energy that you want to have, kind of as a, you know, it's an herbal version of a crystal that's just going to be there and radiate protective force for its existence. So that kind of.
And how long do they last? The energy that they radiate, is it a certain time frame, or does it last forever?
They last exactly 458 days, 2 hours, and 10 minutes. Good question. Well, I don't know if I have a fixed answer for that. There's different ways to capture and maintain the energy of you know, herbal talismans or protective agents. Some things last longer than others. Probably, you know, if you wanted to be really attentive, I would say renewing the bundle every year would probably be ideal, but you know, it's probably going to last quite a bit longer than that. But just like anything, you know, the energy is going to dissipate over time, and you'll recognize it because you just, you know, if you're tuned in, you'll feel a lack of that extra layer of security, you know, or maybe somebody or something will show up and you'll be like, uh-oh, need to recharge. One got in, you know, something like that. That kind of thing.
Muy interesante. I didn't know you can do that with herbs. I like that.
Yeah, baby. Herbs are all purpose. They've got all sorts of edges to them.
So what, so what herbs do you usually do for that, or use for that, for protection of a home?
Well, you know, it, kind of like I was saying before, it just kind of depends. You know, there might be an herb that's, you know, what, what's ideal, what I'd like to do in the past, if it's possible, is to use what's available, you know, nearby the dwelling, whether it's an office space or a home or, you know, whatever. So I just kind of pay attention to what's growing in the area, you know, around the location, and try to select stuff based on that. If they're in a, you know, the space is in an environment where there really isn't that much to draw from, then, you know, I might use something like mugwort, you know, get some mugwort stems, and then I could wrap them up along with some red cedar, which is really sacred and protective. That's available. Maybe add some yarrow. And it's nice to, you know, there's different ways to assemble the bundle. One of the things I like to do is to tie it up in some cordage that's natural, or maybe like a ribbon, you know, red ribbon. Red has a nice energetic color. So it just kind of depends. And then, you know, we go about blessing the bundle. Usually I involve the homeowner with that. And we come up with something to say that that's, you know, imbuing the bundle with its purpose. And then I set the person on their way to figure out where they want to hide the bundle so it can act as a protective beacon wherever it's placed for the house and the people in it.
So, I like that.
Pretty much. Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously some plants have more power than others, but pretty much every plant has an ability to offer some form of strength, you know, or protection, blessing, you know, like we're talking about, or just something that's going to give an extra layer of safety and security to whatever it's associated with. So, you know. Pretty much can't go wrong, you know, with whatever you choose. So.
I like that. That's cool. I'm going to have to, you're going to have to teach me about some plants I can put in the house. Sir.
Yeah. Yeah, we could do that. That could be fun.
Yeah, I'd love that.
We should get some stuff growing around your house so you can utilize the stuff right there, take it to people.
Yeah, we don't have many herbs growing around the house. We have sage. That's it.
Yeah.
But the one you used to cook.
Yeah.
What?
I like that one.
Yeah. That works?
Oh, yeah. Common sage is really, you know, it's very, people don't realize it because, you know, they only use it for like turkey stuffing or something once a year, but it's a really powerful antimicrobial, immune stimulant herb on its own. You know, there's been several times when I felt the cold coming on and I just grabbed some raw leaves of the sage, chew those up, and that knocks it right out. So I don't progress in anything. It's
really,
yeah, it's really drying, you know. It's good for tightening your gums if you've got, like, sore gums or gum infections, and it's really good for drying up secretions, you know, if you're feeling really phlegmy or your nose is starting to run because you got a cold coming on, stuff like that. But it can help you with fevers. But as a bundle, you know, it would break things up and be protective. One of the Greeks really liked garden sage. That was one of their herbs. There's a pretty famous saying by one of their wise people. It's like, why should a man die when there's sage growing in a garden? So so they felt like, you know, a lot of the Mediterranean herbs we use in cooking also have a very significant spiritual value to them for uses in things like medicine bundles. Rosemary, that'd be a really nice one. I know there's a ton of rosemary. There's got to be a rosemary plant growing nearby your house somewhere down there. So
yeah, I bought a couple of rosemary plants and they died. I couldn't grow them.
Michael.
I know. I felt so terrible. I'm trying to develop my green. I'm in the process of developing a greener thumb. So.
Wow. You must have had to work really hard to kill the rosemary off.
Well, because somebody told me they were, you know, it's a good plant to have to put it out in the front by the door. And I was like, okay. And they're like, you can't kill this. It was so easy to grow. And, well, it wasn't as easy as
Michael.
They said it was.
Yeah. Well, so, I'll have to bring down some mugwort starts for you. That's a pretty hard one to kill. That started.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like to use mugwort in essential oils when I do healing work. I use that, and it's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mugwort's amazing.
Do you use the mugwort oil that you make for doing blessings, or what's your process with home blessings?
So what I do is, you know, after I've smudged, I will usually go back in and use like like Palo Santo, you know, so I might use sandalwood incense. We use that a lot to clean. It has a lot of green energy in it, so that cleans the space. So we'll use that, or I love copal, which is a resin incense. Oh, it smells so good. And then I'll go back in with a Palo Santo. And, you know, just say some prayers, invoking for all the higher beings to come down and bless the space and fill it with their divine energy. And so, yeah, so that's what I do. And at times, too, I'll play some chants as well. Again, to bring down higher vibrating energies from all the divine beings so that it will fill the house with that energy.
I see.
And then sometimes I'll go around with the sprays that I make. You know, make some sprays to use when we're healing to cleanse the crystals in our hands. But then I'll make some other sprays to spray the space and to bless it.
Now, are you pretty much doing the same or kind of similar blessing ritual no matter where you're at, whatever home you're in, or, you know, if it's in a workspace or something, or does it vary?
It varies. It's not the same thing. You know, because there's you know, just a basic cleansing like I've done, you know, when people first move into a home, you want to clean the space out, you know, that's just kind of basic. You just might feel some, you know, anger energy in the space or stress from the previous owners or tenants, you know, you clean that out, no big deal. And you say a blessing. And then there are some homes that I've had to clean that are full of entities. And those are interesting because they're, yeah, that requires a lot of work and, you know, a lot more work has to be done there. It's not just one thing to do. Yeah.
Yeah. Might have to make repeated visits.
Yeah, and that's usually I give the owner like a CD or they need to get some chants and allow them the chance to play continuously in the space to clean it out. So, yeah, so that's what we do in those instances. Yeah.
Do you you make a distinction between what you do if you feel like the entity is, you know, like you're saying, like maybe residue of previous owner or there's, you know, like a human spirit that still attaches to the space versus something that's non-human, you know, non-corporeal or may have some other intention for being there? Or is it pretty similar?
No, it's, they're all different. You know, like, couple of the spaces just, you know, they might have a wayward spirit just kind of that hasn't left the earth plane yet, but it's not malicious, you know. So a lot of the time they just want to communicate something. And then after they're done communicating, they'll leave. And so what we'll do is call in a lot, most of the time just call in some of the archangels to come and help them to the other side. And they usually leave really quickly. And then there's the malevolent ones that are, you know, they found a new home and they don't want to leave. And so those take some work to get rid of.
They're attached.
Yeah, they found a home out there. And they don't want to leave. They're there to stay. So, yeah, that takes a little more work in getting them out. And that's when, you know, I don't rely on my energy at all. That is, I just, you have to call the big guns in, you know. The archangels, all the ascended beings to come in and convince these entities to leave the home. Yeah. Because usually
so
those spaces.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead. Finish what you're saying. I had a question.
Because I was going to say, because usually those spaces are really infested at that point. Yeah, from what I've experienced, there it's just heavy and it's thick and it's hard to get it out. What were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to ask. So, have you ever had a space that you just couldn't clear out that you had to like surrender? You know, or I don't know, maybe call somebody else in. You know, because whatever you're doing worked up to a point, but it was still just not completely cleared out.
There was one space that I was working with, and the owner came to me first to work on her, and she had an attachment, and then she said stuff was going on in her home, so we went to her home. But unfortunately, she called it off. We did several healings and space clearings. We started going into the space clearing, and she called me and she's like, "That's it, no more." I was like, "Okay." You know, and by that time, when you see that, it's usually the entity has convinced the host that they don't need it anymore.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, so was she aware that that was going on? I mean, did you like say, you know, are you sure this is you talking and not whatever, I don't know, demon or entity or whatever, you know?
I conveyed what I saw.
Uh-huh.
And dealing with her in the home, and she wasn't convinced.
Really?
She thought it, yep, it was her own decision.
Oh, wow. So she shifted from, so she obviously, she felt something was out of place, right, or disturbed or wrong,
mm-hmm.
or whatever, and she contacted
mm-hmm.
you, and then did
mm-hmm.
she come to you with the idea of, hey, I think there's stuff in my home and it needs to be cleared or blessed or whatever, or did she just come to you
yes.
and say, you know, I'm feeling a certain way? Okay. So she was in tune enough to know that something wasn't right, right? Because you also,
yeah.
you've also mentioned clients you had who, you know, they've called you for healing. You've gone to their house, and then you're like, uh-oh, no, we got to clear this place
yeah.
out first. It's,
yeah.
So.
Yeah. And
that's
and
so
there was one
know, right?
where I was healing the client and then first, and I
mm-hmm.
went to her home one time. And I was supposed to do healing on her, and I forgot all my crystals and all my tools, and it was just kind of like, oh, this is silly. How'd I forget this stuff? Anyway, well, it was supposedly because I needed to clean the space, and, you know, that took a while, but it left.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, but with the other person, you know, it was first dealing with her, and then she says, I think there's stuff in my house, and there definitely was there. And then it turns out, and then she tells me, you know, like that one of her roommates was a Satanist, and he was doing some kind of rituals inside the house.
Oh my God.
And it was, I know.
Oh, hey, by the way, how did you think that was going to work?
Exactly. Exactly. And it was just
that's
kind of
like saying, oh, by the way, my neighbor is Jeffrey Dahmer. Don't be upset or anything.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But he's nice. Like, he's cool. Don't worry about him.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Don't accept
like,
any of his,
and,
don't accept his meat sandwiches. Tell me. No matter how
yeah,
tasty
exactly.
it is.
Don't
wow.
eat the meatloaf.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
And then I asked her, I was like, and you allowed him to do this and stand? And she's like, well, he did it in his room. And I was like, oh, my God. You know, and
right.
I first
like,
walked into
the
home, and it was like, you couldn't even breathe. It was just, like, so oppressive. And
so
it,
was this,
it was scary.
Was this her house, and she was renting a room out to this person?
Yes.
Or were they all just, like, renting the house together, or?
No. She was, or her ex-husband who lived there as well. Yeah. Her husband, her, and this roommate.
It was,
yeah.
It was their
there
house,
were a lot of,
and they had the roommate, or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So be sure, people,
so I wonder
when you're filling out... When you have contracts, yeah, mm-hmm. stipulate no satanic rituals can be performed in the house.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean,
it was frightening.
How would that interview have gone? I'm trying to picture in my head. So okay, so you have some hobbies and interests. See, you know, you put down that you like, you know, and oh, you mentioned you're a Satanist. Oh,
exactly.
That's different. Yeah, well, you know, I'm in the dark lord. What can I say? but I'll keep it in my room. Okay, yeah, that works for us. Like, how the fuck is fart data?
Yeah.
How the hell are you going to get through that? Like, what?
Yeah.
No, there's no way. He must have, like, not told her until after he moved in. I mean, I want to give her that benefit of the doubt, unless she's, like, that out of it.
Yeah. I have no idea.
That's a new
idea.
One. Hey, this is Jim.
Yeah.
He works over at, you know, the McDonald's, and this is Bob. He's a Satanist. You'll like
mm-hmm.
him. Really sweet guy. Just don't piss him off. And here's my ex-husband. Like, well.
Right.
I mean, I've had
roommates
that
could
felt
be.
Like they were Satanists, but none of them were actual practicing Satanists. You know, I mean, I've had times that I wish
like
they'd go to hell, but. Oh,
like
God.
In Rosemary's Baby, you didn't know they were Satanists, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The neighbors
yeah.
and the doctor
mm-hmm.
and all of them.
Right.
They seem like
wow.
normal people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's a no-win situation unless she gets rid of the roommate or moves out herself. Like, how is that supposed to work? I mean, I guess, you know, you could contain that, but God, it'd be a constant effort, right? You'd have to constantly, like, just blockade
mm-hmm.
that person's energy, all the shit they're bringing in.
Yeah.
Like, it would just follow them everywhere, like, skunk.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. It was eye-opening, to say the least.
No kidding.
Yeah. So, I don't even know why we got on this topic. But anyway, yeah.
Oh, just like, you know, this was the person who ended up saying, don't complete clearing and the blessing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, I started working on the home. And I was still doing work on her, and then she was just like, no. Like, you know, it first started off with coming late, then missing appointments, and then not coming for other, you know, future ones and taking time to reschedule. And it was just, you know, there was more distance yeah,
mm-hmm.
between us. And then I said, look, I see what's happening here, and, you know, I would suggest. And she's like, no, I'm okay right now. I really don't need it. And it's interesting.
Yeah. Well, hopefully she worked that one out. Well, it ended up being a blood sacrifice.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Yeah. So, So anyway, just, you know, try blessing all the homes after I'm done cleansing them and bring in, you know, higher divine energies to permeate the space and stay there with them. Ask angels to stay by to take care of them. Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, you know, when you've done something like that and it's really successful and really takes hold in the space, it's amazing the energy that changes, right? You can just, like, feel it, like opening the door and having, you know, sea air come in.
Mm-hmm.
So different.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. So have you experienced a change, a shift in the energy of a space after you've done some work on it?
Trying to think if there's anything recent that shown up in that way. I've had experiences where you know, I've gone into somebody's environment and it's just really heavy, you know, and I can just feel it. You know, there's stuff that they need to really deal with. And then once they're able to come to terms with it and they do their own self-work, you know, going back to the space, it's totally different. Yeah, what actually comes to mind, and this is a tough one, and maybe this is what kind of what I was getting at too when I was asking if there were any like difficult cases. I had this really weird, mysterious illness happen maybe about 20 years ago. I came back from camping, a hiking trip in Eastern Oregon with my girlfriend at the time, and I got really sick. It was right around July, beginning of July, July 4th, mm-hmm. and I had this terrible headache. And
mm-hmm.
eventually I couldn't eat anything, and I was vomiting, and I was really tired. I had no energy. And I went to my doctor, and they're like, oh, you need to go to the hospital. So I got checked in, and it was some kind of mystery meningitis. You know, so my brain was inflamed, mm-hmm. basically. And there's a lot of ridiculous things that happened there. But the first 10 minutes after I was in the room, these two orderlies came in with this machine, and I was pretty out of it, but I was still like looking at them like, oh, this is weird. What's this going to do? And there's nobody else in the room with me. And they came in and they're like, okay, we're here to prep you for your enema. And I went, really?
What?
The doctor didn't say anything about that.
What?
I mean, I'm aware of how beneficial enemas can be if there's a need, but are you sure I'm the right one? And they looked at me, and then they looked at the records. They went outside, looked at the door, you know, the number of the room on the door. And they're like, oh, it's the guy next door. Sorry. I went, oh, my God, this is going to be fun. Jesus. So... But
so you didn't get your enema?
You know, no, I didn't. And then because they weren't sure what I had, if it was, you know, bacterial, which is really pretty deadly, or viral, you know, they gave me a bunch of antibiotics just in case. It can be really contagious. So whoever was coming into my room was like all gowned up, like I was in like, you know, Contagion movie or something. So that started freaking me out. I'm like, oh, my God, what have I got, you know? And then after everybody left, and I, you know, maybe it was the drugs that were taking effect, or maybe I was just tired, or I don't know, it was a combination of stuff. But I could feel all these, just, you know, the spirits of all these recently departed dead people in the room. Like, there were a ton of them. And it just kept coming over and over again, you know. I mean, hospitals are filled with all sorts of crazy energy. And it was just like, oh, my God, how long is this going to last, you know? And it wasn't like it was anything malicious. It was just this, like, you know, I mean, I was afraid because I was like, I didn't know if I was going to survive this thing, honestly, because it was that bad and nobody was telling me anything. And they really didn't know what it was, even though they did a bunch of tests. They still eventually came back and said, well, we think it's this, but we don't really know, you know. And I was like, and it was one of the few times, I've had a few of these experiences, it was one of the few times in my life where I thought, you know what, I might not be alive in the morning. And then when I just felt, you know, the presence of all these dead people, I was like, wow, I hope they're not here to escort me to the other side, because I am not ready, you know. So I just try to stay up all night. I watch like this whole like John Wayne movie festival thing, you know. I'm like, okay, yeah, John Wayne's gonna help me get through this, you know, da 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 da. But anyway, eventually I fell asleep, but I woke up. Obviously it got better because I'm here, but you know, it's that kind of thing where it would have been helpful to, you know, somebody come in and just kind of did a blessing space and a clearing in that room for me, just to calm things down a bit. So
yeah. Wow. Well, hospitals always have a lot of the dead in there, the spirits that haven't crossed over. Yeah. Hospitals are full of them.
Yeah. It's an interesting environment for sure, because there's so much transitioning happening there, you know, and there's people suffering and in pain, and that creates a whole vibration. And I mean, just on a physical level, you know, there's super bugs in there that get created, you know, that people catch, even if they're trying to keep things clean, just because they get toughened up by all the antibiotics and other drugs and things. So, yeah, not one of my favorite places to go. But I've also gone, you know, to help people out spiritually who've been there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's rewarding, you know, when somebody trusts you enough to ask you to come to that space and just be there.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're going to have a short show this week. No callers. But that's okay because we've had a really good conversation here.
As usual.
Yeah. So, Monsieur Laurence, how can people get in contact with you?
Well, Mr. Espinoza, they can call me or text at 541-344-7534. They can also try my email, which is givingtree@earthlink.net. We also have a Facebook page, Giving Tree Farm Herbs, and a website, of course, Giving Tree Farm Herb Company. So any of those avenues are open for people to find out more about what I do or connect with me to do some healing work. And how about you, Michael?
Great.
What's the way people find you?
There's two ways. You can go to my website, michaeljespinoza.com, or you can call or text me at 562-457-0457. Well, thank you for a great show, Laurence.
Thank you. Yeah, it's another wonderful hour almost spent together.
Almost.
Discussing amazing stuff. Yeah, I feel like I find out.
Do we know what?
You know, more interesting things about you each time. So, very cool. Yeah.
Likewise. Do we know what we're going to do next week? The topic for next week.
I'm going to work on getting a guest in. So I'm putting my energy out there for that. So hopefully we'll have a friend to talk to.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, but I'll keep it under wraps who it's going to be because I've got a selection of a few different people. So,
all right.
So we'll see who shows up. But yeah, mystery guest. How about that?
Okay. All right. Well, I can't wait. All right, listeners, thank you for listening to the Psychic Funhouse. We appreciate you listening in, and we'll be here next week, Friday, 6 p.m. Pacific time.
So make sure you come back again and catch a ride on the Psychic Funhouse.
Yes. Take care. Have a great week.
Be well, everybody.